and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, last time in our study of the book of Ephesians, I left off by saying that you need to belong to a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. Well, you need to do that not to be saved, but because you are saved. Remember, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy they saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, people must go God's way to heaven because there is no other way. When a person listens to foolish pride or just plain stubborn when it comes to making sure of heaven, the stubborn scorner needs to be reminded that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, Proverbs 14:12. Well, we looked at that person who thinks they're good enough to go to heaven, or possibly their good is going to outweigh the bad in their lives when they stand before God. But just as that person who thinks they've not done too many wrong things in their life and they will go to heaven, there is that person who thinks they're too sinful to go to heaven. Well, God the Father says He will save anyone, no matter who they are, if they will listen to Him. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 10:34 says, Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. See, God is no respecter of persons. In other words, it makes no difference to God who a person is. All, no matter who, all can go to heaven when they decide to go God's way. And let me remind you, saved person, that word all means you, with other Christians, all are the same. In other words, we're all on our way to heaven. We all have the same privileges and responsibilities as found in the Word of God to our Savior Jesus Christ. We're to be serving Him. There's no difference between us. There's no difference because we're all saved the same way. We're on our way to heaven. And we need to love each other, serve God in spirit and in truth. Well, no matter who the person is, no matter how good a person has been, and no matter how bad a person has been, God says He can take anybody to heaven if they will do as He says. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's Romans 10:9-10. And verse 13 of Romans 10 says, For whosoever, that means everybody, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now God loves each one of us, human beings. He wants each one of us to go to heaven. And if you'll trust Him, He'll save you. You'll be able to go to heaven, and I'll be able to see you one day. Call upon Him today, trusting Him as Lord and Savior. Admit that Jesus Christ is God. Admit that He's the Savior. Admit that you're a sinner. Ask Him to come into your heart. Well, we read Ephesians 5:11 the last time. And once again, Ephesians 5:12 we read, it says, For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Notice verse 13 of Ephesians 5. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Well, notice the phrase here in that verse. But all things that are reproved. Well, we've been looking about the Christian life and what takes place in the unsaved life, that we're not to emulate or do the things of the unsaved, but That verse tells me, that first part, but all things that are reproved, that means all manner of promiscuity. Things that are done in the darkness of secrecy. We talked about that. Things that are hidden. Things that are concealed. We brought out of darkness, secrecy, into light. Now, why and how can this be? Because all things done in the dark are made manifest in the light. Well, we know this. Light is the resource that makes things visible. In other words, seeing things for what they really are. And just as things done in darkness are exposed by light, so it is with the light of the gospel. The gospel exposes those things done in darkness and in secrecy. The light of the gospel exposes mankind. We've read this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." All are sinners. And no matter how much people try to avoid it and admit this reality, they try to avoid this, the Bible brings to light that all people are sinners. Verse 13 of Ephesians 5 continues, "For whatsoever doth make manifest is light." Anything that shows the real appearance and character of an object deserves to be called light. Well, that statement, of course, is the truth that no one can deny. The meaning in this connection is the gospel, which discloses the true nature of man, deserves to be considered as light and truth. You see, it reveals the horribleness and the wickedness of sin, and it stands therefore in strong contrast with all the false and abominable systems which have been upheld or produced vices of sin. Notice with me, if you would, what John the Apostle says about light and truth. John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Now we keep reading and we go to verse 14. It says, "Wherefore he saith," this is God saying now, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Well, notice this, "Wherefore he saith," the Lord speaks to us, and he will speak to us in that still small voice that comes from his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our witness, the voice within, that is, to us who are saved. The Lord has also given us a great privilege of being able to hear what he says by allowing us to hear him through his word, the Bible, the King James Bible. Notice how the Lord spoke to Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter 19, I would encourage you that each time that you listen to me, or any other preacher for that fact, have your Bible open so that you can follow along and make sure it's coming from the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9 through 13 says this, "And he came thither unto a cave." Now this is speaking of Elijah. "And lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts." In other words, he's saying, "I've worked pretty hard for you, Lord." He says, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." Here's a man feeling sorry for himself. Verse 11, "And he said, Go forth." This is God speaking now to Elijah. "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by." He went out and he stood, and the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? God speaks to us in that still small voice. He lets us know the things that we need as Christians, as saved people. He does not leave us to just flounder around and wonder what we're going to do, but he's given us his word. He's given us the book that we need to be in, and we need to read and study that book, and he will speak to us in that still small voice. Now, many people like to make a lot of noise, thinking they're getting closer to God by making a lot of noise. But the noise is not where God is at. The noise that we look for is not that noise at all, but it's that still small voice that speaks to us from the heart, from the innermost being, and that innermost being is the Spirit of God. When we get into his book, the Bible, I believe it is the King James Bible, when we get into his book and we study that, he speaks to us. He lets us know things that we're so privileged to be able to find out in our Christian life. And for that unsaved person can understand that he or she needs a Savior and how to go to heaven through the book. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Not only does God give the faith to believe, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, as we witness to individuals from the book, faith comes. Faith comes by the Word of God. And as we study the book, he gives us the ability to understand what he wants us to know. For that saved person needs to know they're lost on their way to a devil's hell and that God can save them. For the saved person, he wants us to know that we can grow in his grace and knowledge, and we become the people who represent Jesus Christ to our fullest when we dedicate our souls, our lives to him. As we study the book, we know more and more of how we can serve him better while we're on this earth. Elijah wanted to hear the voice of God. God spoke to him in that still small voice, and God said, What doest thou here, Elijah? Has God asked you that question? What are you doing here? What is your purpose in life? Well, once again, as a saved person, I know your purpose in life, and that is to tell others about Jesus Christ. Each one of us need to witness for him and telling others how that they too can go to heaven. Well, we hear God through his word, and that is the scriptures. There are verses that say the scriptures speak. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3 says, For what saith the scripture? In other words, it's speaking. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Believe God, and it's counted unto you for righteousness. The Bible's teaching us there. Why? And how? Because Abraham believed, and we believe, and God counts it for righteousness. The Word of God has a voice. The voice Scripture has is the voice of God. It is God's Word. It's God-breathed. That voice calls us to believe, and when we do, we will not be ashamed of what we hear. Romans 10:11 says, For the Scripture saith, here it is speaking again, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That means that we're not ashamed to tell other people that we are saved on our way to heaven, that we know how to help them to go to heaven. We're not ashamed of the Scripture. We're not ashamed to present God through his Word to this lost and dying world. We're not ashamed to help people know Jesus as Savior, and we're not ashamed to help our brothers and sisters in Christ to help them to grow in the grace and knowledge through the Word.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.